Blog Talk Radio.
We are all one planet, all one people of Earth, all one planet, sharing our living, our dying, our birth, and we won't stand by watching her die.
Welcome to Your Turn to Speak with your host, Beth Miller. All points of view must be brought to light if we're to reach the wisest solutions to challenges we face. Guests on Your Turn to Speak have unusual insights to bring to the collective conversation. They have been invited because of the positive impact of their loving presence on Earth. Though their ideas may be hidden by the glare of the mainstream focus, their perspectives are guaranteed to inspire and enrich us all. And now, here's your host, Beth Miller.
Welcome to Your Turn to Speak. I am your host, Beth Miller. I feel so fortunate this evening to have as my guest, David Clark. Green Party member Ursula Rossum was originally scheduled to be on the show this evening, but at the last minute, she found she was unable to make it. And David so graciously, on such short notice, was willing to fill in. And I am so deeply appreciative. Listeners, you are in for a very interesting hour. And I predict that you will be blown away by David's openness, honesty, and deep understanding of what it means to be a spiritual being living in a human life. So author and Different Strokes for Different Folks radio show host David Clark is a retired social worker, a recovering alcoholic, and recovering sex addict. He has poured his years of intense experiences into his third novel, Shades of Gay. The first two novels were written under the pen name Davis Aujourd'hui, and they are The Misadventures of Sister Mary Olga Fortitude and Babes in Bucksnort. All of his novels have enjoyed rave reviews on Amazon.com. David has found spirituality as a way to help fill the needs that could not be satisfied through his addictions. He is committed to spreading a message of hope to others, which is what his radio show is all about. He is socially minded, and he wrote Shades of Gay as a way to share the pain of addiction and hope of recovery. David's website is authordavidclark.com, and that's Clark with an E. Welcome, David. It's your turn to speak.
Thank you, Beth. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, well, you are so welcome, and it is such an honor. It is such an honor to have you on the show. I wonder if maybe we could begin by having you tell us how you made the transition from being a retired social worker to becoming a radio show host.
Well, it was a process that involved some other transitions, because the first thing that happened was I became an author, and I wrote my autobiography, which I did not choose to publish. It was very intimate. And then when I was done with that, I wanted to keep writing, and I thought about these characters, these zany characters I developed to entertain a colleague of mine when I was a social worker. It was a very stressful job, and she loved my gift of humor. And so I would call her up and leave these crazy voicemail messages impersonating these characters that I made up, with the prime character being Sister Mary Olga Fortitude. And she just loved it. So I thought to myself, after I'd retired and written my autobiography, that I could write a book. And I sat down and I wrote The Misadventures of Sister Mary Olga Fortitude. And when that was done, I still had more ideas, so I sat down and wrote Babes in Bucksnort. And those are the two books that are available on Amazon.com, which have received 4.5-star reviews. But I have written a total of 14 in the series. And then I wrote Shades of Gay, which is a story of an alcoholic and sex addict who has to make a decision. He comes to a crossroads in his life where he has to decide if the cheap, shallow thrills of the moment are worth giving up something that's more enduring. And when I sought a radio forum to promote the book, I had done a show with the Sister Mary Olga Fortitude characters with Spiritually Raw Broadcasting. I was told that they were not doing shows anymore, but they could help me with promotion. And one of the things they suggested was that I consider becoming a radio show host. And that was very intriguing. It kind of fit with some aspects of my background from before I became a social worker, and I decided to do it. And I have just loved it. My show is called Different Strokes for Different Folks, and it's a spiritually themed show that examines people's life journeys, and there are all sorts of people on the show. My guests are mostly ordinary folks with a story to tell. I have recovering people in various 12-step programs. I have best-selling authors, ministers, priests, psychics, comedians. Just an amazing array of people who have bared their souls and told their stories, which have generally been their spiritual journeys. So that in a nutshell, or maybe a little bit more than a nutshell, is how I became a radio show host.
Wow, that is so amazing. Now, and I know myself, I am just so pleased to be a radio show host as well. And it's just I found that before interviewing so far each of the few people I have interviewed, because I've just kind of recently started, that I absolutely fall in love with every one of them in the sense that, you know, and so amazing what people have carried with them, have struggled, have worked so hard to kind of do something in contribution to the world as they see it, and it's just been such a privilege. So I kind of know what you mean about enjoying the work.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us more about your show.
Well, I started in November, and I've done about 40 episodes. And I don't know what else I can tell you, except that it's been a thrill for me. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from my listeners. I have people that have called in, especially to the psychics, the seers, and the healers, who've received wonderful messages from them. I have had John McNeil, who is a best-selling author and a former Jesuit who was kicked out because of a controversial book that he wrote on the church and the homosexual, and more so than that, his ministering to gay people when he was told not to. And he was a phenomenal guest with a phenomenal story. And likewise, I've had other guests that have just had wonderful, wonderful stories. I had an old girlfriend on last week who had been sexually abused by her father since the time she was 3 until she was 17. And she became suicidal and promiscuous and a burner. And then she discovered Buddhism, which was her way to find true happiness in her life and leave her despair behind. So these are the kinds of stories that I have been privileged to hear by people that have walked in paths of darkness, that have dealt with amazing challenges and have come out the other side and have transformed themselves from victims into victors. And it's been, as I said, it's been a privilege to bear witness to their stories.
I like that, from victims to victors. That's, yeah, that's so important to allow people out there who might not be quite to that victor point to hear the stories and to hear that there is hope for them.
Mm-hmm.
Really, very, very, I think you're doing a wonderful thing.
Oh, thank you.
People on. Do you have any upcoming shows that you'd like to talk about, or do you know what's coming up?
Well, let's see. I'm trying
to
remember. I have a new thought. I have a new thought minister that's going to be on. My show is on Thursday at 3:30 in the afternoon on Blog Talk Radio, and then it's on Friday night, also on Blog Talk Radio at 7:30. And let's see here. I'm just checking out my schedule because it's kind of complicated to keep track of. But I have a new thought minister by the name of Harriet Walden, who is going to be on the show on Thursday afternoon. She's an urban mystic minister, an artist, an activist, and a spiritual coach. And so that should be a very interesting show and a good show for people to call in who might be troubled and want to have an uplifting message. Then Friday I'm supposed to have a woman who goes by the name of Tina, who is an adult child of an alcoholic. She's a bipolar disorder survivor and the mother of a lesbian teen. And then next Monday I have a special edition show at 7 o'clock in the evening with Dr. Kahu Kahealani, who is a religious science minister and oneness trainer. And she gives amazing spiritual messages, and this is her second time on the show. She is indeed a survivor who has learned how to thrive. She was molested as a child. All three of her children were molested, and she learned through each experience how to eventually let go of anger and judgment, and she was able to confront the last perpetrator who molested her youngest child and to look him in the eyes with love, but to tell him that if he didn't want to go to jail, that he needed to pay for a year of therapy for her daughter, and he needed to take a year of therapy for himself and join Alcoholics Anonymous. And he broke down and cried and agreed to do that. So those are some of the shows that I have coming up. And Dr. Kahu Kahealani was homeless. She was married to a drug addict who took all her money. And she has the most amazing upbeat attitude and looks back on these things that might have been viewed as tragedies in her life as blessings because they woke her up. And they woke her up to the fact that she is a spiritual being, that she is not a victim, and she's rewritten her story and come out a victor. So that will be a wonderful show for people to listen to. And any of the programs that I've done so far are in the archives, which can be found at freespiritbroadcasting.com. You just click on my picture, David Clark, and it will bring up all the shows that are archived, just like if you click on Beth Miller, who is in freespiritbroadcasting.com, it will bring up her shows as well. Yeah.
Right. Well, shifting gears just a little, David, could we talk about your own spiritual journey?
Sure. Well, I was brought up as a Presbyterian, and I always found that particular brand of Christianity to be rather sterile and boring. And I never had an experience with the Holy Spirit until after I left the church and I was in my mid-20s, I was at the time unsure about things and called myself an agnostic. And then I had an amazing spiritual experience where I had a profound conversation with God. And it followed something that could have been a near-death experience, an accident that I don't know how I ever avoided, but it took me into an altered state of consciousness. And so I realized there was indeed God. And then I began a quest for, I was spiritually hungry, and I studied New Thought, New Age traditions. I was very taken with Jane Roberts and the Seth material. Much later on, came Abraham, who was channeled by Esther Hicks and has similar messages that are easier to digest than Seth's. But the basic premise is that we live in a vibrational universe, and we create our own reality. We co-create it with our higher power, or with our source, or with God, however you want to frame it. I use the word God. And so it's important to focus on positive things, positive thoughts, surround yourself with positive people. And when you do that and put out rockets of desire, maintaining gratitude for what's going on in your life, not getting stuck by saying, oh, I want this, but this is my experience now. How will I ever get there? It's important to send off those rockets of desire, but at the same time, to remain grateful for whatever is going on now, even if it seems awful, because there are always things that you can be grateful for. So I practice that, and I will say that it has worked in my life. I am a member of a couple of 12-step programs, which enhance my spirituality, and I joined Unity Church, which is a New Thought church, about 7 years ago. And their premise is that we are all one, and that God is not something that is a separate entity from ourselves, but actually God is within us, all around us, within every living thing, ever present. And so that was a very interesting concept, and it really jived with where I was at. So so that's basically been my journey.
Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible. I was wondering, the titles of your book seem to have Catholic connotations. And I wondered if there was any connection that you had with the Catholic Church at all.
Not me personally. I had a lot of Catholic friends who went to school, to parochial school with nuns. I do have one branch of my family that is Catholic. And so I had some understanding of Catholicism. And my books are very irreverent. Sister Mary Olga Fortitude loves her bourbon, and she loves her cigarettes, and she even has a flip-top hollow cross that serves as a flask for her bourbon so she can have a quick snort.
Uh-oh.
And the Reverend Mother is a reformed prostitute. The convent chef is a gay cowboy. And all of the characters are just deliciously dysfunctional, zany characters who get into all kinds of mishaps. And I've dedicated the books to all adult children who deserve a chance to not take life so seriously.
Mm, that's great. Where did the name Bucksnort come from?
Well, I didn't have a name. Yeah, I didn't have a name for the fictional town, which I eventually did name Bucksnort. And where I got it from was I was traveling from Texas to New York, and I drove through a town in Tennessee called Bucksnort. And when I saw that name, I just laughed out loud, and I thought, that's the name of the town where my book is going to be set. So that's how that came about.
It was kind of serendipitous.
It was serendipitous, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Getting back to, though, the spiritual journey, is there some kind of hopeful message that you can offer to people who might not have a particular faith at the moment?
Well, I will just share a little bit of my own experience, which was involved a lot of pain and a lot of challenges. I had a lot of shame about my sexual addiction and even about my sexual identity as a gay person growing up. And I became very active in compulsive sexual behavior in all kinds of inappropriate ways that were harmful to my spirit. And so I joined a 12-step program for recovery. But before I did that, I was suicidal. I'd attempted suicide. And I was a very unhappy person much of the time. But I never truly lost hope, or I wouldn't be here. And I think that the one thing that I would say to a person who's struggling or is challenged, I like that word better, that they should cling to hope and focus on gratitude. Look at even the most seemingly insignificant things, like that they wake up in the morning, that they can breathe, that they have food, that they have shelter, if that's the case. And so, you know, when you do that, it is, it's just amazing how focused you can become and getting to a better place. And I think for anybody that is struggling to find God, they may be challenged by previous religious notions and dogma about God. They may view God as judgmental. And I would suggest, like was suggested to me, that if the God you have is creating fear or is not working for you in a loving manner, recreate your God. And so what I did is I'd remembered the teachings of Jesus, which were all about a loving God, no judgment. And so that was the God that I adopted. I rejected the God that was quite often portrayed in the Old Testament. And I think that that is an ego-based God, because God is not vengeful. God is not jealous. God is just pure, unconditional love. And that's the only God that I accept in my life. And I believe it's the only God that's real. That's my opinion and my belief.
You know, it's always been kind of an enigma for me to kind of put together the Old and the New Testaments and finding them congruent. It just seems like the Old Testament, even in the Ten Commandments, it says, I, thy God, am a jealous God. And, you know, and yet in the Christian way of seeing things, that really the only most important and crucial focus that you need to have is that of love.
Yes.
Loving God and loving one another and loving yourself.
Oh, yes. That's where it all has to begin. You know, if we can't love ourselves, we can't truly love another. And I don't know that we can love God either.
Really, I know. I think that it has to start from within. And, you know, but we so often, I know that as I was growing up, there was always a very strong focus on always put others first.
Yes.
And
yes.
Think of others first. And unfortunately, I know that it's a very noble thing to think of others, but unless, you know, you have the strength of the self-love, it's not going to work, you know. But then there's sometimes the guilt associated with really taking care of oneself, you know, you know, go that extra mile to maybe seek some therapy, to maybe seek that massage once a month, or to do something nice for yourself, like take some time out of your day, every day, to be quiet or pray or, you know, commune with nature in some way and do something enjoyable. You don't always have to feel like you have to, you know, kind of keep helping all the time other people before yourself.
You know, well, you give yourself away when you do that. Yeah, you give yourself away when you do that. And I think the number one goal for any person is to take care of themselves. And when they do that, then they have something to give to somebody else. And when they don't do that, it can lead to all kinds of negative things like resentments and anger and so I embrace the idea of taking care of myself, and I did not do that very well in the past, and I've got a long way to go. But I would suggest to anybody that is on any kind of path, even a spiritual path, to do that, and to remember that it does not just involve the physical, it involves the emotional or the mental, and it involves the spiritual. And when I'm out of balance in any one of those areas, then I have to take a deep breath and go within and deal with whatever is out of sync.
Mm-hmm. In the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned something about being in some 12-step programs. Am I right? Did you mention something about that?
Yes.
How much time does that take, and has that been proven to be truly of help?
Well, it can take a lot of time. You know, I think that it's important to remember that when people are in an addiction, it becomes a way of life and is all-consuming. And to get out of it requires changing your focus. And if you don't immerse yourself in the 12-step programs and meetings and doing the step work, it's not very likely that it's going to work for you. When I joined Alcoholics Anonymous, I would sometimes go to up to 4 meetings a day. And I stayed in close touch. Yeah, I stayed in close touch with other people, and it paid off because within 2 weeks the compulsion to drink left me. Now, sex addiction was a trickier wicket because it's not like putting down a substance that you don't need. I mean, sex can be an ingredient for a happy and healthy life, and I had misused sex. So I had to redefine what was a happy and healthy sexuality for me and deal with the compulsions and the obsessions that would lead me back into the addiction, because my recovery has not been perfect. God has not taken the compulsion from me. He did for a year and a half, and it was like a miracle and just amazing grace. And I thought I was cured. Well, that was a misnomer. I very much am challenged by the addiction. I've had several relapses, and it's the one difference is that I have not given up hope today, and I don't get mired in my shame. So I encourage anybody that is challenged by an addiction like sex addiction, which is extremely challenging, to be gentle with themselves and to recognize that everything in God's earth happens for a reason. There's a plan for everything, that you're right where you're supposed to be, and that addiction goes away when it's meant to. So there's no use in trying to figure it out or to struggle. It's best, I found, to just surrender to the understanding that I'm powerless and that I need help. So that's been a big part of my journey, starting 26 years ago.
Oh, my. I know that it probably takes an incredible amount of courage, too, to keep going, to keep on...
Yes, it does.
Keep holding on to that hope. Was writing the book Shades of Gay helpful as far as your addiction goes, or did it kind of make it, kind of bring you back into it, maybe?
It did both of those things, because the book is very explicit. It's the story of a sex addict, and it pulls no punches. It shows exactly what the addiction is like, how it plays out. So there is explicit gay sex in the book, but the book reaches higher ground, and the character eventually discovers a better way of life for himself. And so from that standpoint, the hope and the courage that this character embraced reminded me of what I had done myself. And so it affirmed my journey, my climb up the mountain, if you will, that I was a victor, not a victim, and that there was grace many steps along the way.
Great. The main message of the book, then, is a journey from a really kind of intense sexual addiction to the fact that the character was able to at least see a transcended vision of what life could be like? Or...
Yes, yes. Well, it's a story of personal transformation and transcendence, and it is a powerfully moving book. It's a love story, and it does have humor in it. As I said, it's explicit, but it contains a lot of hope. It contains a message of faith, and it's a very enticing read right from the get-go. It will grab you and take you down into the abyss, which to some people might be titillating, but I think that as they read the book, if they're sex addicts that read the book, they're going to get in touch with the fact that maybe what they thought was such a good time really wasn't, or that it was not nourishing their spirits. So it's, I encourage anybody not to be afraid of it. I've had straight people, I've had a grandmother read the book, I've had lesbians read the book, and they've been able to get past the explicit sex and enjoy the unfolding story and the message of hope that the book engenders.
Will there be a sequel to the book?
Well, I'm working on a sequel. It's almost done. And that's called It Is What It Is. And I also have written a prequel to the book. So it's going to be a trilogy eventually.
Hmm. So in the book, in the books or the trilogy, will there be a... kind of a vision of what a healthy sexuality means?
Yes, yes, there will be. And there will be...
Do you think that a healthy sexuality for one person would be the same as for others, as far as either within certain parameters? Would it be kind of a universal thing, or would it be unique to each person what a healthy sexuality is?
Well, my little chihuahua said, hell no. I think that there are certain commonalities for people, and I think that healthy sexuality involves being able to love yourself in the context of your sexual expression and to develop intimate ties with sexual partners. Now, I don't think that I know that monogamy is not for everybody. That is my idea of a happy and healthy sexuality, and that's eluded me. But for some people, they find that they can handle different relationships. I'm trying to think of the name of a type of relationship where there may be two partners sharing a lover. And, you know, I think that the bottom line is there needs to be honesty and communication, and that a person needs to not be keeping secrets from anybody, and that they need to be in touch with their inner compass, their guide, whatever their sense of morality is, and to, again, be gentle with themselves and recognize that it may involve some exploration along the way to come up with what is indeed a happy and healthy sexuality, which may evolve over time and may turn into something like monogamy for somebody that chooses another path in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I notice that a lot of churches now, including the Presbyterian Church, where you originally were brought up, are now beginning to shed some of their prejudice against the gay community. And actually, there's been some people in the clergy who are gay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that give you hope that maybe some of the stigma and the, you know, those things that would create that sense of shame might be falling away?
Oh, I think absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very encouraged by the evolving state of consciousness connected
yes.
to gay lifestyles, idea that gay people can get married and the fact that it's becoming legal in a lot of places. It really is very encouraging. And I have for a long time been very self-affirming about my sexuality, but in the beginning I was very, very down on myself and judgmental, and I just thought that it was evil and immoral and dirty, and I think that that also played into my sexual addiction.
Oh, mm-hmm. So in the course of you coming from that sense of shame and intolerance, in a sense, to where you are now, did you along the way and participate in any of the civil rights movement, like some of the marches, some of the sit-ins, some of the advocacy for quicker AIDS answers for, you know, cures for AIDS, any of those civil rights activities?
Well, I have been involved in marches. I've done marches in big cities like New York and Minneapolis, and I've participated in marches in my hometown of Syracuse. I have not really been active in lobbying for gay rights. Actually, my parents founded the local chapter of PFLAG, which stands for Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and they did that, and I was a little bit ashamed that I was not in a place to want to do that. And that's because I was stuck in my sexual addiction at the time.
That is so interesting, though, David, that your parents would do something like that. I mean, that speaks an awful lot about them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That they want to... Yes. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, they didn't judge me for my sexuality when I came out to them, but they were very perplexed by it, and it took them quite a while on their journey towards accepting that being gay was all right for me. But from the very beginning when I came out to them, they let me know it didn't change their love for me. And they were very interested in finding out more about my sexuality. And so, you know, I'm just very grateful that they walked that road and embraced me.
I think that's such a blessing, such an amazing blessing. So, aside from your working on the trilogy, are you involved with any other projects at the moment?
Well, I'm kind of taking a break right now. I got back into the sequel to Shades of Gay after I'd finished the 14th book in the Sister Mary Olga Fortitude series, and I completed that a couple of months ago. But I found that I was a little bit spent and that the inspiration wasn't there. And so it's very difficult to write anything that's meaningful if there isn't a flow and if the inspiration isn't there. And this has happened to me before, and I've gotten past it. So I just decided to take a time out, and I've been focusing on the radio show since then.
That's good. I was going to ask you a little bit about the process, the actual process of your writing. Like, how do you schedule it into your day, and is there a special time of day that you write, and what is it that can promote that sort of flow, and how does your imagination come up with these characters?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. My mother always said I had an active imagination, and I believe that to be true. As far as my particular process goes and my regimen, I find that I write best early in the day, but there are days when I will write 8 to 10 hours a day. And other days when I may just write for a few minutes. But I try to write something every day. Of course, as I said, I'm taking a time out now, but when I actually am working on a project, I make it a point to try to write every day, including on the weekends. And
wow.
I can sometimes churn out two or three chapters in a day if I'm having a really prolific day. I let inspiration be my guide. I don't plan out plots. I let the story evolve as it flows along, and so I never know what's going to happen next, which is really part of the fun. But as I go through the story, I set up the characters for certain future events, so I need to be mindful that and there are conflicts that are introduced, so I need to be mindful that those conflicts are resolved and that the future events take place within the storyline.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. I mean, to be able to spend up to 10 hours a day writing, and then some days just a little bit of time, it's interesting that there isn't a solid regimen, but yet it's still a discipline I can see if you do it, you know. I know now you're on a little break, but it still, I think, takes quite a bit of discipline and an ability not to get distracted. I know my problem is I am so easily distracted by so many thousands of things that seem to be screaming at me to do. But it's great that you have that discipline. So,
I don't allow myself to be distracted.
Wow. Now, I know that you have some pets, because I hear them in the background, so.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
What is your family like, your family of pets and partners?
Well, it's quite a menagerie. There are two dogs and four cats in the household, and you heard the littlest one sound off. That's Remy, the Chihuahua. Now, last night I was doing a radio show, and Shadow, who is a retriever, sounded off and kept at it for quite a long time. I was interviewing a guest by the name of Brenda Pierce, who's a wonderful nurse, healer, and radio show host and author. And what I had to do was to keep muting my microphone while she was talking because the dog just would not stop barking. But he did get in his two cents.
Wow. Well, before we conclude, David, why don't we repeat to the listeners how they can get your books and how they can find out more about you?
Okay. Well, there are two names that books are written under. And it's not important that you remember Davis Aujourd'hui. Aujourd'hui is the French word for today.
Oh, I was going to ask you that.
Excuse me. Yeah. Yes, if you remember or write down the titles, those books will pop up on Amazon.com. And again, the titles of the Sister Mary Olga Fortitude books are The Misadventures of Sister Mary Olga Fortitude and Babes and Bucksnort. I also have written a little compendium of my life. It's called Putting the Pieces Together, and that's available as a Kindle for 99 cents on Amazon. If you want to find out a little bit more about me, that would be a good purchase, and you can't beat the price. And I believe that you can also, even if you don't have a Kindle, you can download an electronic version of the book. So there's that. And that's also written under the name of Davis Aujourd'hui. Shades of Gay is written under, pardon?
And that's Davis, D-A-V-I-S, Aujourd'hui, correct?
Aujourd'hui, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it's not
and
Davis,
Shades
Davis.
Of Gay. Davis, okay. Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
okay.
Shades of Gay is written under David Clark, and that's Clark with an E. Now, if people want to find out a little bit more about me and Shades of Gay, they can visit my website, which is authordavidclark.com. And I'm sorry I was not prepared. I have a couple of blogs that are connected to the Sister Mary Olga Fortitude books. And at this point in time, I'm having a mental block. I can't remember the names of the blogs, but that's not important.
That's fine. If they can get to you, you know, via your website, that's a real good start.
Yeah, and they could always Google Davis Aujourd'hui. And that would bring up the other material. Aujourd'hui is spelled A-U-J-O-U-R-D apostrophe H-U-I.
Great. And just once more, maybe you can just tell them your radio site, the Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You can go to blogtalkradio.com. Let me see here. I'm just going to try this out here so I can / author David Clark. You can go to that. That will enable you to listen to the show, because if you go to that on the day of the show, the time of the show, it will say what the upcoming broadcast is, and you just click on that, and that will enable you to listen to it. And likewise, that's where you would go to listen to Beth's shows, because she's part of my studio, author David Clark. So it's blogtalkradio.com/authordavidclark. The other option is to just call in on the guest line, and you can listen over your telephone instead of your computer to the show. And that number is 646-727-3116. And then you can always go to the archives at freespiritbroadcasting.com to listen to either of our shows. And then you have a veritable menu of shows to choose from.
Well, it's been so great having a chance to talk with you this evening. I think I would have one concluding question that I would ask before we close, and that is to talk about right now what your primary life purpose is, as you would define it.
Well, my primary life purpose is to remain present and spiritually conscious, and that takes into account a whole number of things, but I like to keep it simple. So I would say that that is my primary life purpose. And I also believe that we're all put in this life to help each other, and that whenever somebody is in need, I am responsible. If I can do so, I can always say a prayer. I need to take care of myself first and recognize that sometimes I need to say no. But if I'm in a place where I have something to give, then I am responsible for helping my fellow human beings.
That's wonderful, David. Well, again, I thank you so much for coming to this show tonight on such short notice. And I do wish you the best. And I hope that maybe sometime in the future we can have you on again to talk about the sequel to Shades of Gay.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
And the completion of the trilogy.
Okay,
so,
that sounds good.
We will talk with you soon then.
Okay, thank you, Beth. I appreciate the opportunity.
Good night, David.
Good night.
And this brings to a conclusion tonight's episode of Your Turn to Speak. I would encourage you all to listen next week to a transpersonal astrologer, Dennis Cole, who will speak about his upcoming book on the metaphysics of love. Until then, may your voice be heard.
We are all one planet, all one people of Earth, all one planet.
You have been listening to Your Turn to Speak with host Beth Miller. Each week, Beth features guests whose important views are often overlooked in the mainstream dialogue. You can listen to this show again at freespiritbroadcasting.com. And be sure to tune in next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for another live, inspiring conversation on Your Turn to Speak.